Now you turn in your Bible to Lamentation. Book of Lamentation, chapter 1 and verse 12. Lamentation, chapter 1 and verse 12. The title of the message today is Question. What happened at Calvary? What happened at the cross? My text is found in Lamentation 1, verse 12. You got it there? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. Anger. Now I pray the Lord will bless us together, and I pray the Lord will enable me to speak on this most vital subject of Christ crucified. Christ crucified. May God be pleased to give us insight, and may we be as determined as the Apostle Paul not to know anything in the way of salvation and righteousness, but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I know this. All Scripture is given by God. All Scripture is given by the sovereign purpose of God to teach us the way of God's saving mercy in Christ Jesus. And this Scripture is no different. This Scripture we find in the Lamentation tells us much of what God was doing that day at Calvary's cross, on Calvary's hill. All Scripture is given of God. All Scripture is God-breathed to point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other but in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Acts chapter 10, to Him give all the prophets witness, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Moses, David, all the prophets give witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, His person and His glorious work. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive the remission of sins. Romans 15 declares, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Comfort and patience and the foundation of hope is found in thus saith the Lord. All our hope of salvation is wrapped up in the glorious person and work of Jesus Christ. All of our hope of ever being justified before God who is holy is by the grace of God alone, being justified freely by His grace through the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All Scripture's given to teach us the gospel. All Scripture, from Genesis all the way through Revelation, the whole canon of Scripture is telling us and declaring one message: salvation in Christ Jesus. Salvation in Him. As they used to say years ago in the Roman Empire, they had a saying that said, all roads lead to Rome. And that is true when we talk about the Scriptures. This book we call the Bible. All Scripture leads to Christ. You see, He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, raised again, according to thus saith the Lord, according to the Scriptures. Now, down through church history, we find God's preachers using this Scripture in Lamentation 1:12. Using this particular Scripture to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now we find in the book of Lamentation God's prophet Jeremiah weeping and lamenting the awful destruction of Jerusalem at the hand of the invading armies. They decimated this city. The king of Israel, Zedekiah, had been taken captive, and his sons were killed before his eyes. And then the enemies burnt his eyes out, and he remained in prison the rest of his life. The last thing he ever remembered seeing was the death of his children. And then they carried him away, and he was held in prison until his death. The temple built by Solomon was defiled and ransacked and stripped of its possessions. You ever wondered where that Ark of the Covenant went? That's where it went. They carried those articles in the tabernacle, in the temple. They carried them back and defiled them with idolatry back in Babylon. Burned to the ground. The priests, all the priests of God, were taken captive and put to death. You can see the decimation. And no wonder that Jeremiah is weeping and lamenting as he beholds this scene. Thousands were carried away captive for many years, 70 years, and many thousands were put to death. All this destruction came upon them by the hand of Almighty God, as it says there, the Lord hath commanded concerning Jacob. The Lord hath trodden underfoot all the mighty men. And Jeremiah weeps as he beholds the destruction of the city. Now the story of my message, and my message is not the destruction of that city, although that is there. You can read that historical account. That is there in the closing chapters of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 52, it tells us about some of those things that took place. But my story is not about a city. My story and my message is about the Christ of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, how He died for our sin according to the Scripture, according to the Word of God. And I want to use the words found here in Lamentation chapter 1, verse 12, and preach to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is it nothing to you? Is it nothing to you? Now, I want you to try to visualize in your mind the Lord Jesus Christ speaking these words from Calvary's tree as He's beholding those before Him that's mocking Him, that's railing on Him, that are passing by, that are wagging their head, and He's saying to them, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which was done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. Is it nothing to you? What happened at Calvary? History records that someone named Jesus of Nazareth died. That's a historical fact. Undisputable fact. But is that all you know? Is that all you see? Is that all you know of what happened at Calvary? In Matthew 27, verse 36, we read a moment ago, sitting down, they watched Him there. They watched Him die. They watched Him bleed. They watched Him suffer. What did they see in that day? Most saw a bloody, beaten, bruised body of a man from Nazareth nailed to a tree, and simply passed by and said, it's nothing to me. It's absolutely nothing to me. Some passed by and wagged their head and mocked Him. They passed by and reviled Him, wagging their head, saying, you destroyed the temple. You say you're going to build it again in 3 days. Well, if you be the Son of God, you come down from the cross and we'll believe you. Now, here's four things I want you to see in this message. And it's a message about what happened at Calvary. Here's the first point is this. We see the Lord of glory, God incarnate, God manifest in the flesh. Now you think about that. When those vile men beat Him and mocked Him as the King, He is King. When they crushed that crown of thorns down upon His head and beat Him with a reed, bowed the knee and mocked Him, cleared their throat and spit in His face. That's God Almighty. Don't tell me we're not depraved sinners when you see that scene. We see, first of all, the Lord of glory suffering like no other human being ever suffered. Enormous suffering, untold suffering, indescribable suffering, unparalleled suffering. Notice the words of the text. Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. Anybody suffered like this man suffered? Truly and rightly, he is called in Holy Scripture, Man of Sorrows. What a name for the Son of God who came. Isaiah wrote of him, he despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Isaiah 52:14 declares his visage, his face, so marred more than any man. He was beaten so severely and his face so swollen and bruised with the blood oozing out, he didn't even look like a man. Stripped naked on that tree, beaten, his back lacerated before they nailed him there. He didn't even look like a human being. His visage so marred more than any man. In Psalm 22, we read, our Lord said, I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. Our Lord dies the death reserved for the most vilest felons. The worst of the violators were nailed to a tree. And yet our Lord humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. No one suffers like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord of glory subjected himself to the scorn of wicked men, to the mocking and beating of soldiers, the ridicule of the Pharisees, the cowardly treatment of Herod and Pilate, the false accusations of the high priest. If you be the Son of God, he is. Pilate brought him forth that day and said, behold your king. Remember what they said? Away with him. Crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. Away with him. We don't want anything to do with him. You kill him. He submitted himself to the execution by the godless Romans. He laid down his life. His physical and mental agony is beyond human words. I can't find words to describe it. He suffers like no other. Behold and see if there be any sorrow like my sorrow. I would not minimize his physical sufferings. But if that's all you can see, and if that's all you know, the half's not been told. Come back and look again. Come back and look again. If that's all you see, his physical suffering. I wouldn't minimize his physical suffering. But if that's all you know, if that's all you see, come back again. Behold the Lord Jesus Christ again on Calvary's tree. Look again with the eye of faith and ask God to show you something of his soul agony upon the cross. Isaiah 53, he hath put him to grief. The Lord hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Isaiah 53:12 declares, he poured out his soul unto death. Death by crucifixion was not only painful, but it was a shameful death. He dies the accursed death to show that he bore the curse of the law for his people. You remember that scripture in Galatians chapter 3? He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, and that's what happened on Calvary's cross. His physical pain pales in comparison to his soul agony as he endured the holy wrath of God for my sin, as he bears our sin in his own body on the tree, suffering as a believer's substitute, suffering the sin of all of God's elect that were laid upon him. He suffers in his holy character as our sin is revealed unto him and he's made sin. He suffers in his holy character. He agonizes over our sin. Now consider this. Consider this. He's the only one who never deserved to suffer. He's the only one who never deserved to suffer. I deserve wrath and judgment. He didn't deserve it. He never deserved to suffer. We read in Scripture that He is high, He's holy, He's harmless, He's undefiled, He never committed sin. He never deserved to suffer. And consider this, He had the power to prevent these sufferings, and yet He suffers like no other. Remember when they came to arrest Him? Remember what Peter did? He drew the sword. Peter was a fisherman. He wasn't a swordsman. He wasn't a soldier. He drew the sword to defend his Lord, and he took a swipe with that sword. He's aiming for that fellow's neck, and he got his ear. Remember what the Lord told him? Peter, put up your sword. I don't need your help. Don't you know I could call for 12 legions of angels to wipe out that army in a heartbeat? But then he said, how shall the Scripture be fulfilled if I don't go to Calvary's tree? And Peter died for your sin. Peter, put up your sword. Salvation is not by our doing, it's by His dying. Put up your sword. Put up your works. Rest in Christ. Rest in Him. He suffers like no other. That's the first point. You got it? Physical suffering. His soul agony. Being made sin. Bearing my sin. All the sin of God's people in His body on the tree. Secondly is this. We can see from this Scripture and others that these sufferings come by the sovereign and eternal purpose of God. Look at that text again. Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me. The day of His fierce anger. These sufferings come from the hand of God Almighty, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me. And here's what's going on. The Lord Jesus Christ looks beyond the instruments of the cross to the author of the cross and said, this is of God. This is of the Lord. I want you to hold your place there, and I want you to turn to Matthew 16. I want you to see this. This is Matthew 16. The Lord Jesus Christ, His death, His crucifixion was not an accident. He died on purpose. He died by the purpose of God. In Matthew 16, verse 21, from that time forth, began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. And Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be. You see, he didn't understand at this point that he must die as the substitute. But he turned and he said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. He's saying that this cross and being crucified is at the hand of God Almighty. You see, the work that wicked men did that day was not enough to accomplish our redemption, was it? It wasn't what wicked men did that day. That's not our hope. It's what God was doing at the cross. That's our hope of salvation. The crucifixion and death of the Lord Jesus Christ was no accident. He's not the helpless victim of unjust men. He's the appointed sacrifice of a holy God. This is God's Lamb dying for sinners. This is God's Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God that's offered unto God to satisfy God's offended justice on our behalf. Now remember three things about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, this is God's sacrifice. This is God's Lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So we know, first of all, God planned the cross. Not an afterthought. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from eternity, and in time He came. God planned the cross. Now it is true. In Scripture, the Pharisees went out and held a council how they might destroy Him. But God in the council halls of eternity determined the outcome of their meeting. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. They did what their wicked hearts desired to do. No doubt about that. But in doing so, they executed the purpose of God Almighty. It says in Acts chapter 4, verse 26 and following, that Herod and Pontius Pilate, you know, they were enemies. But they came together against the Lord and against His Christ. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. He suffers the hand of God by the purpose of God. You see, the cross, the plan of God from all eternity. Second thing, remember this about Christ crucified. God planned the cross. Secondly, God presided over the cross. You know, Pilate thought he was in charge that day, didn't he? Don't you know, he says to the Lord, don't you know I have power to crucify you or I have the power to let you go? What did the Lord say? You don't have any power over me except that which my Father gives you. The powers that be are ordained of God. Pilate thought he was in charge, but the Lord corrected him quickly. God Almighty is in charge of all things. My friend, God is a sovereign God. He's always in charge of all things, but especially on this day. Especially on this day, God presides over every detail of Christ crucified. Our God eternally and sovereignly rules and reigns over all things. All things of Him and through Him. All things are of God. Our Lord gave Himself to be our sacrifice for sin. No man took His life. He said plainly in Scripture, I lay my life down willingly. No one takes it from me. I lay it down. God planned the cross. God presided over the cross. And thirdly, now get hold of this. God participated in afflicting the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. We know that it pleased Pilate to condemn Him. The Pharisees were pleased to see Him die the death of the wicked. The Roman soldiers were pleased to put another Jew to death. But always remember what the Scripture said in Isaiah 53:10. It pleased God to bruise Him in our place. It pleased God to wound Him. The work that men did that day, as I said earlier, wasn't sufficient to put away our sin. It's what God was doing at the cross. That's our hope. He was smitten of God and afflicted by the hand of God Almighty. Zechariah records it. Zechariah said this, Awake, O sword, sword of injustice, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd. The sword of His justice, His white hot justice, was plunged into the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, as He's made sin on Calvary's tree. Here's the third point. No sorrow like His sorrow, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me. Thirdly, why did God afflict Him? Why does He suffer so? Well, the answer's in our text there. You see it? Wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. God's fierce anger. Look at verse 13 in our text. From above hath He sent fire into my bones, and it hath prevailed against them. He hath spread a net for my feet. He hath turned me back. He hath made me desolate, and I faint. He's afflicted of God. Now the cross, now listen to me. The cross of the Lord Jesus is seen by most as a display only of man's anger. And it is. But few have seen the cross and Christ crucified as a display of God's fierce anger. About to get to the heart of the matter. What happened on Calvary's tree in the day of God's fierce anger? Now, let me ask you this. How can a holy God be angry with His holy Son? He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And yet now we see the wrath of God poured out upon the Lord Jesus Christ without any mixture of mercy. How can God be angry with His holy Son? I can sum it up in one word. It has three letters. S-I-N. Sin. Sin. Scriptures declare, Psalm 5:5, "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity." Psalm 7:11, "God judgeth the righteous. God's angry with the wicked every day." God can only be angry with one thing, that's sin. He's too holy to look upon sin with favor. The wages of sin is death. The guilty must die. Habakkuk said, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold iniquity." God in His holy character cannot look on sin. How do you describe the anger of God? I remember reading years ago that little book written by Arthur Pink on the attributes of God. And he said the anger of God, His anger over sin is a result of His holiness stirred in activity against sin. That's a good definition of the wrath of God. It's His holiness stirred in activity directed at sin. That's His anger. The holy God can never look on sin with favor. Now, listen to me. If then the Lord Jesus Christ is the object of God's wrath, He must be guilty of sin. Now stay with me. But the Scripture declares He had no sin. The Scripture declares of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Scripture declares of Him, He had no sin, He knew no sin, and He did no sin. Have we missed something here? Even His enemy said, Judas, when he came back, remember the betrayer? Sold the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He came back and he cast that money on the floor and he told him, "I betrayed innocent blood." Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man." He said, "I've washed my hands from the blood of this just person." Even the Roman soldier confessed, "Certainly this was a righteous man." Even his enemy said, "This is a righteous man." Now listen to me. He is indeed guilty of sin. But none that He personally committed. He's holy. He's harmless. He's undefiled. He is guilty of sin by the Father laying on Him the sin of God's elect. The theologians say that He's guilty of sin by imputation. God imputed, reckoned our sin to Him. The Lord laid on Him our iniquity. Psalm 40 declares, and this is our Lord speaking, He said, "For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquity hath taken hold upon me, so that I'm not able to look up." He calls our sin His. As it's charged to Him, and He willingly takes all the sin of God's people to Himself. Concentrated in one person. No wonder the wrath of God falls on Him at Calvary's tree. He said, "My iniquities have taken hold upon me, so I'm not able to look up. They're more than the hairs of my head." Isaiah 53, verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on Him." Who did this? The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53:10, "Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin." Who did that? Men didn't do that. God laid on Him our sin. Isaiah 53:11, "My righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Isaiah 53:12, "He bare the sin of many and made intercession for transgressors." In a word then, what happened at the cross? Can you find a word that describes? Can you sum it up in a word or two? I can find two words. Substitution. Satisfaction. That's what happened at Calvary's tree. Substitution. The Lord Jesus Christ dying in my room and in my stead. God made Him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God made Him sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That substitution. The just one dying for the unjust, that He might bring us unto God. That substitution. And my friend, that substitution is a complete satisfaction unto God. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Our Lord's last words in the body before He died, it is finished. Complete. Done. Sin put away. When sin was found on the Lord Jesus Christ, when God made Him sin for us, the holy wrath of God's justice fell on Him and completely spent itself on Him. Therefore, in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He took my punishment. He took my sin. He took my punishment, and the wrath of God fell on Him. Therefore, there is no wrath towards me. You see, He paid my debt. He satisfied God on my behalf. No condemnation to those who are in Christ. In Lamentation 4, verse 22, it said, "The punishment of thy iniquity is accomplished." Hebrews chapter 10, "For by one offering hath He perfected forever them that are sanctified." And the Lord said, "Their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more." Gone. Gone. In closing, here's point number 4. What is your estimation of Jesus Christ crucified? Now let's, like the old country boy said, let's shuck right down to the cob. Let's shuck right down to the cob. What is your estimation of Jesus Christ crucified? Is it nothing to you? That's the question he asked. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? You're passing by right now. And in this message, I pray that you can behold Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? I know this to be true. God leaving us to our own wicked thoughts, our own carnal understanding, our reply would be, it's nothing. It's nothing to me. We read in Scripture, "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness, but unto them which are saved, it's the power of God." We preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, stumbling block, unto the Greeks, foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, Christ the wisdom of God. Now listen to me. To approach God upon any other ground than Christ crucified is absolute folly. Not only is that true, but it's also to charge God with folly in the death of His Son. If righteousness comes by something you do, if righteousness comes by the law, then why did Christ die? He had to die to put away our sin. No other way. Indifference to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is deadly and damning to your soul. Our Lord said, "Those that are not with me are against me." If any man, we studied it this morning in our Bible study, if any man loves not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed when the Lord comes back. To some, Christ crucified is just nothing. To some, Christ crucified is something, but not everything. But some, by God's grace, the Lord Jesus Christ crucified is everything. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ we are complete in Him. The believer can say with the Apostle Paul, "God forbid I should glory, rejoice, except in Christ, in Him crucified." You see, Christ is all and in all. Now may God help us to be determined, as the Apostle Paul, not to know anything but Christ crucified, and be determined to rest in Him, His blood for my sin, satisfying God's justice, His gospel, all my hope, to know nothing but Jesus Christ as all of our salvation, Christ crucified. Nothing more, nothing else, Nothing less and nothing else but Christ and Him crucified. Now, you got the text there again? Lamentation 1:12. Commit it to memory. Commit it to memory. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow which was done unto me wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. And I pray for you, for me, that God would make that all of our hope of salvation before God. God is well pleased with Christ. God is satisfied. God is satisfied with the death of the Lord Jesus, sufficient payment to put away our sins.